Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro. It is an honor and privilege to share this time with you. We love studying the scriptures and feel they are central to our preaching, teaching, and living of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Our mission here is to grow disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. It is our prayer that God would use our preaching and teaching to do exactly that. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, or just want to talk a little bit more about what you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Most of all, know that you are in our prayers as we listen together. Now, let's dive in.
This morning, we find Jesus causing quite a bit of discomfort of probably everybody in that temple and ruffling the feathers of those in authority. But before we can fully understand Jesus' reaction in the temple that we see play out in these scriptures that were just read, one must understand what is happening in the temple. People came to the temple during Jesus' times for a couple of reasons. But two important reasons are to hear the reading of the Word of God and to offer sacrifices at the altar. It was in these moments when it was understood that that would be when they were in communion with God. Regularly, those who would visit the temple in Jerusalem, where we find Jesus this morning, would be the people from the city of Jerusalem. However, 3 to 4 times a year, there are festivals that take place. And the city might see up to 1 million people as many of them make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem from wherever they are. And on this particular week, they had come for Passover. As soon as the travelers arrive in the city, they would go to the bank found on the temple mound to exchange their Roman money for money that was acceptable in the temple, money that wasn't Greek or Roman, that did not have the face of Caesar on it. And to make that change, there would be a fee, and then they would move on. This exchange of money was needed for a couple of reasons, but here are two possible reasons. For a sacrificial animal to be bought and to fulfill the Jewish law that every male over the age of 20 had to give an annual contribution to the temple of half a shekel. For context, that would have been worth about 2 days of labor in the vineyard. After changing their money, they would have taken part in a ritual bath before entering the temple. As one walked the temple grounds in the courtyard, they probably found people selling animals. It probably would have felt and looked like going to the market for all your needs that week. For a foreigner to Jerusalem, they either brought their sacrifice with them, hoping that it would be acceptable, or they needed the animal sellers to fulfill their sacred obligations and to worship decently and in order. They needed the ecclesial exchange of money from the money changers to give half of their shekel. That gift to the temple, as required by law, was designed to help offset costs. But more so, and presumably to ensure that there were enough turkeys and cans of green beans to fill the food baskets for the needy. Meaning the money needed or given to the temple was intended to care for the poor and the needy. Now, it could be argued that the money was given to the poor and needy just as it was intended for. However, often what happened was that they would end up paying their landlord rather than using the money to help better their lot in life. In many ways, this system in which the temple functioned caused the rich to get richer and the poor to become poorer. At this point, I think it's obvious why Jesus got angry. Now, scholars don't believe that those things that they needed to do at the temple are bad in and of themselves. In fact, many recognize the need of those things. However, as we read this text and understand the context of what was happening, I have to wonder, was he tired of the system taking advantage of those without? Was he tired of the ways in which the religious group of people took advantage of those who were coming simply to worship and offer sacrifice? Or was he tired that this is to be a place of justice and it was being used for injustice and corruption? In his anger, he turned over the tables, quoting words from Jeremiah that was calling out the temple leaders for letting the first temple get to a similar place, calling them a den of robbers, reminding the people in Jeremiah's time, and now Jesus' time, and now our time, as we read it this day, that the temple is a place for everyone, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, slave or free, blind or sighted, lepers or non-lepers, foreigners or natives. All are welcome. It is intended to be a place of hope, encouragement, flourishing, and joy for all people. Ultimately making us ask the question, when the temple is not living into this understanding of sacred worth, as it was not in that moment, can the Lord dwell there? Or in a different way, when the house of prayer, as Jesus refers to in Jeremiah's words, betray their calling to be a place of justice, grace, mercy, courage, hospitality, and so much more. What are we to think? What are we to say? How are people who were in need of God, who may have been harmed by this very system, to think about our God? And it makes me ask that question of us. I think often when we read the scriptures, we can often think about it as, well, this is something that happened in the past, something that happened thousands of years ago. How does it connect to us? However, Christian history teaches us that just as our systems to care for people, for all people that exist within our communities have failed to serve those that the system was created to serve, the Christian church has not been immune from our own systemic failures, starting with the first temple to now. One such failure came in the words of a man who died, fighting and trying to change the world in which he was living, standing up to an evil power that was the Nazi Party, who co-opted the church for influential gain, something that has historically happened several times and caused a broken system to become even more systemically broken, and whose ultimate goal, as we find, looking at the history of World War II and all that the Nazi Party did, whose goal was to offer hurt, shame, and death to all who disagreed with them. German Luther theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, with great courage, spoke to a church who desperately needed to hear his prophetic voice. He wrote, "Our church, which has been fighting in these years only for its self-preservation, as though that were an end, is not capable of taking the word of reconciliation and redemption to mankind and the world. Our words, then, are bound to lose their force and cease, and our being Christians today will be limited to two things: prayer and righteous action." You see, Bonhoeffer was naming what had taken place in the German church. The corruption that had gone on for so long that to speak out cost him his life, and it did. It cost him his life. In that instant that he spoke about, the church failed to maintain justice, to fight for what was right, and instead got scared and bogged down by all of the systems and processes that would help the institution of the church to survive. And it forgot what the purpose of the church was: to be a place of justice, reconciliation, and redemption. Now, this is not some progressive or conservative talking points or politics. This is simply recognizing the call that Jesus places on all of our lives, but also on our community as a whole, to bring the hope of God's new creation to all people. The beautiful thing to me about this story is that it doesn't stop with Jesus turning over the tables and driving the people out. It continues. What happens next is that Jesus invited all to come to him. He stood with them and by them, offering healing, grace, affirmation of the love of God that was offered to each of them, encouragement, and hope. This tells me that even when we as human beings get it wrong, even when the church, as both the institution and the people that is the church, gets it wrong, which we do, I want to name that for us, there is still hope to be found. Even in the turning over of the tables, even in the need to stand up for another, to have courage to the point that we may lose our lives, Christ offers us the opportunity to come to him, to love, and to care. For me, the question for the church today is this: are we just in this for self-preservation? Or are we in this to see God is changing the world through our very witness of what God has done and is doing through our very lives? In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, may the people of God say, Amen.